Strange, weird, almost indescribable, a total failure. Dabo and Kelly's comments on Clemson and LSU's season opening eggs, but also the scoring on the show. But there is a very describable feeling to panelists who went on TV and doubted Deion in that opener, and that description is mute. Tim Kalishaw, Courtney Cronin, and Pablo Torre finds out a mute. Harry Lyles, getting a little bonus. You were on Deion early. Let's go around the horn.
Someone had to be. I deserve that.
Harry's saving it.
College football's long week one weekend ending with Duke upsetting Clemson and a storming of the field at Duke and Florida State rolling LSU the way they did. But there was nothing more seismic, more nuclear than Colorado's win over TCU.
What's up, boss? You believe that? Hold on. Do you believe that?
Huh? Who said I didn't believe before?
No. I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
Deion Sanders now the head coach of the number 22 team in the country. Start there, Harry Lyles. Do you believe?
I do believe, and I think I believe a lot of people found out that they did not do a very good job of separating about how they feel about how Deion went about his business personally compared to what he was actually putting together at Colorado. When he had the famous quote about I'm bringing my luggage with me and it's Louis, he was not talking about actual luggage. He was talking about the players that he was bringing in. Travis Hunter is Louis. Shedeur Sanders is Louis. Alton McCaskill, running back, Louis, you get the message, right? Like, they were not just bringing in players that were congruent or the same as a team that went 1-11 last year. He was bringing in new players. You saw those on display on Saturday, and you saw the results from them. Now, some context. I will say, Colorado still gave up 500 yards on defense, only had 55 yards rushing. So there's things that they still need to work on. But this was never going to be a team that was the worst in FBS, a team that wasn't going to be more talented than it was last year. And you saw the result of that on Saturday.
Some thought that was going to be the case. I want to get to the rest of the national panel, but a follow-up here, because you are our show's college football reporter, Harry. How big a deal is Deion building the team from scratch in a summer? And is it okay to call out the doubters like we just heard on that tape?
It's okay to call out the doubters if you're ready for the doubters to throw it back at you at some point or another, because you do have Oregon and USC coming up on the schedule in about 3 or 4 weeks, right? So as long as you're okay with dishing it out, you got to take it as well. But this is going to be something that you see much more often in college football. In fact, USC and Lincoln Riley did it the past couple of years. We just didn't really talk about it as much because he wasn't as loud about it as Deion was.
Wasn't 86 new players, though, in that case, USC. Pablo Torre, what did you find out with Deion in Colorado this weekend?
I found out, Tony, that Deion was actually more subtle than I expected. I expected Deion Sanders to host every cable television program all week after doing what he did, and he gets to crow because it wasn't just the gas bags like myself, admittedly. It was Vegas. 20 to 21 point underdogs was Colorado, a brand, a program that no one thought was even close to cool. And now you wake up on a Monday, on a Sunday, and you're like, okay, actually, we have to reconsider how we saw this entire thing. And with Deion, Tony, it's one thing to talk about him being just, you know, the front man, the promotional tool behind this, but it's his freaking son who's the quarterback. It's the two-way player, Travis Hunter, who molded himself seemingly in the vein of Deion, except doing it better than Deion did, playing receiver, it seems. And so Deion's fingerprints, his DNA, is literally on that field, and he should take a victory lap that is Deion-sized. And I'm surprised that it wasn't actually even bigger.
Tim Kalish, I'll bring you in here. Are you a believer now in Colorado and Deion?
Tony, as the only panelist here who matriculated his freshman year at Boulder, I bring a special insight to this situation here. Yes, I believe. Unlike my former colleague, Ed Werder, I believe in all of it, except for the fact that Deion thinks Ed still writes. He was a little confused there. But beyond that, everything they put on for a show was fantastic. Shedeur Sanders, 510 yards, the two-way magic of Travis Hunter, and all the rest. And, you know, we listen to NFL coaches talk about, well, we've got three new offensive linemen. You can't expect continuity. Here comes 86 new players with no preseason games, and they just go out there.
So maybe a little bit too much was made out of it. I mean, we had this discussion on the show. They have no. They were so bad last year. Those weren't the guys we saw this weekend.
No. Yeah, this was a completely different set of guys, and it's going to be whatever happens. As Harry mentions, USC and Oregon, they may stumble here, but they're going to be fascinating to watch. Mm-hmm.
Courtney Cronin.
I'd like to say I wasn't a doubter. I was just more concerned about the unknown. 86 new players. How are you sure that that's going to be a team that can win a game as a 21-point underdog? So much of this, though, is about coaching and the staff that Deion has assembled. I had an NFL source text me in the middle of this game telling me to go look at the coaching roster and say, this reads like a pro staff. All of that said, take a look at all the cutaways that we saw of Deion Sanders on Saturday. The mic on his headset was up. He was letting his coordinators do their job to get these guys ready to go in and beat a TCU team that right now is unranked. I think that we might have been putting a little bit too much on TCU's national championship game resume from last year. They nearly lost four games last season. Maybe they're not as good as we think they are this season. That's taking nothing away from Colorado.
It sounds like you're trying to take something away, though. The line was, I wasn't a doubter. I was more fear of the unknown here. Oh, that goes hand in hand, doesn't it? I want to ask a follow-up question to Pablo Torre. A team taking on the personality of the coach is how you expressed it earlier. Shedeur Sanders is a half a thou passing. And then he's saying there's not so much difference between FCS and FBS. Is it okay for him to say that?
Well, I love it, Tony. And look, there is a fine tradition of players, Shannon Sharp, Jerry Rice, who've gone to, you know, HBCUs and been obviously thriving at the highest level. So to me, it was eye-opening in that way. Yes, I felt like I underestimated the entire premise now of the FCS after watching him. It was a fair point.
Parallels?
I mean, Shedeur can say that because of one stat. He was 13 for 18 with three touchdowns under pressure. If he feels like it's the same, yes. I mean, his numbers showed it.
Courtney Cronin.
Travis Hunter had a chance to go to Florida State, and he decided to follow Deion Sanders. He may be the best two-way player in college football since Charles Woodson. So, yeah, I do think that there's a lot here to love. And, you know, for all the disingenuous comments that were made about the roster, ones that talked about Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, the other cornerback they have who might be an NFL prospect, and then in that same breath to say it's the worst roster, maybe more than UMass football, which won its opener, by the way, 2 weeks ago. I think that those are the comments that are fair to be called out because very clearly the talent they have is something to be recognized and it helped them win the biggest game that they've won since the 2000s.
Seeing a two-way player like Travis Hunter, Tim, and the number of snaps he played in the entirety of the game, is that a sustainable thing?
It's 100 degrees in Fort Worth while he's doing it. It's not the most pleasant football afternoon either. They're probably not sustainable to do it at that level. That's two NFL games worth of plays. But he can do a little of both. And Shedeur Sanders, you know, throwing over 80%, you gotta wonder when the last time a team split Heisman votes. It certainly wasn't the Colorado Buffalo.
All right. So seismic is the word I use to describe what it was for Colorado to come out and beat TCU in the opener. But how about Florida State back? National title back? That's the question I'm going to ask you next. The gear they had in the second half was real and spectacular. Jordan Travis, Keon Coleman, maybe they're going to split Heisman votes. Monster hookup there for Florida State. And then on the other side of the field, how bad of a loss is this for LSU? For Brian Kelly, not a heck beaten out of an opponent as Kelly hoped, and a loss for the family. And whether Clemson is down for real, another question I'll ask you. Dabo Sweeney last night called it a strange loss, a weird loss, an almost indescribable feeling. So, Tim, your week one reaction or overreaction, Florida State's ascent or LSU or Clemson's descent? What do you want to focus on?
I'm going to go with the ascent of Florida State. And I realize they actually beat LSU last year before LSU kind of found itself and got going and won the West and became a legitimate top 10 team. That's why I think beating them again, beating them this year when LSU had hopes of a CFP visit at the end of the year, I think that's a bigger deal. And the way they put them away in the second half, made adjustments with their run game, just kind of destroyed them, pushed them around, really, in the second half. That's what I liked about
Florida. Give us the poll quote, though. Florida State, national titles, team back in the conversation?
Well, they are. If Clemson's going to keep losing to Duke, that's going to, you know, if that kind of opens the door in the ACC for them to be the team to talk about.
Courtney Cronin.
LSU's in trouble, Tony. We know that the CFP takes a look at the quality of wins and how teams win game. They allowed 31 unanswered points in the second half before that late touchdown, and this really hurts their chances because they're going to have to run the table in the SEC. Remember, they have to go to Alabama this year in a couple of months. It's not going to be easy to go through their SEC West schedule to get into the SEC title game, but I just think about what happened in the first half. Those trips inside the red zone, akin to something that Clemson knows all too well about yesterday. If you don't come away with points on those possessions, it's really hard to win games. And that's what happened to them in the first half before they squandered their halftime lead.
Harry Lyles Jr., you want to talk about Florida State's ascent or the descent of LSU or even Clemson?
Honestly, I just don't think this could have been a bigger weekend for Florida State. When you hired Mike Norvell away from Memphis, this is exactly what you wanted this thing to look like. They were scoring at will in the second half of that football game. And if you look forward, we've talked about this Florida State team contending for the playoff at the beginning of the season before we saw anything that happened this weekend, right? We saw them play very well against an LSU team that I still think is a good football team. But then you also watch what happens to Clemson and the way that Duke beat them as well. If you look at Florida State's schedule, go find the loss on there for me. It looks like the hardest game that they have left is against a Duke football team that I do think is good, and credit to Mike Elko and Riley Leonard, a great quarterback. But Florida State looks like they are in the driver's seat, and the only thing that could get in their way of the playoff at this point is themselves.
Your takeaway also Florida State, Pablo Torre?
No, my takeaway is Clemson for the reasons that Harry said, actually. I mean, Dabo Swinney, Tony, he called it the strangest game he'd ever seen but participated in, whatever. And to me, it understates it. Like, he tried to spin it, actually. It was funny afterwards, talking about how the process of Clemson was strong. Time of possession, first downs, yardage, all of that. No team had ever lost a game like that. But I just want to remind Dabo, like, as a process guy, with the process, they tried to lose on purpose. In this case, it didn't seem like you guys had a real strategy or a cleverness. It was just, oh, we're just choking repeatedly in the red zone. Not good.
Florida State, Clemson. September 23rd, that's next on the schedule. Harry, I'm going to ask you a real hot take type of question. Do you believe the window is closed on Clemson being the dynastic team that they were just 5 years ago? And as I set you up with that, here's video of Clemson quarterback zooming past Dabo Swinney and not giving him some dap. Do you believe it's over for Clemson?
Yeah. Yeah, I do think so, unless he is willing to adapt with the times. I mean, this team's not even taking transfers, and you just can't do that in college football nowadays.
That'll be the last word. Five still next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Grey Goose.
USA 100, Italy 63. But ooh, what a good-looking matchup. Good-looking response from Team America, which is what you want to see. But is the loss to Lithuania this weekend still echoing with you? That's the question I have, national panel. Tim, do you feel better or worse about Team USA after the response to the loss?
I don't feel much better about beating Simone Fontecchio's team, Tony. I just think when they lose to Lithuania the way they did, very good looking, out-rebounded by 16, gave up over 50% three-point shots. I mean, what were they doing in that game? Sabonis didn't even play for Lithuania in that game. I just think they're still very vulnerable.
I'm buying that they look like a team that was angry that they lost, and in the fashion in which they did against Lithuania. Remember that Lithuanian player who stuck his tongue out at Austin Reeves? That was strange. He was allowed to get away with that. But look, Lithuania was their kryptonite. They are the best. They were, because they're not in the tournament anymore. They were the best rebounding team remaining. And against Italy, the United States got back on track, and they also got back on track with their bench contributions after being outscored by 23 over the
weekend. Lyles Jr., you're back to feeling good about this team?
I feel better about it. This is the type of response you want to see from what is a young USA team. And they did get out-rebounded against Lithuania, 43-27. You cannot have that. So for a young basketball team that's still trying to figure things out, this is the type of response that you need to see, even if you don't feel like Italy is a great basketball team.
Pablo Torre.
And I think there is some context here that's useful, Tony, as the only panelist here who hails ancestrally from the country that is hosting this tournament. The Philippines loves this American squad so much, they treat Austin Reeves like he's John Lennon. That's not an exaggeration. Look at the videos. So just the idea that they needed a wake-up call, like, oh, wait a minute, Lithuania actually is a competitor here. We can't just cakewalk our way to the gold medal game. Actually useful to me, given what I imagine the Philippines is like right now.
That's what Pablo found out today. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Rich Paul's take on why LeBron is greater than Jordan. You all saw this, right? You said it on Gil's Arena, that LeBron is the first player to have to deal with 24/7, 365 news cycle of sports and opinions from those not really capable of even having expertise, a valid opinion, but also that LeBron chose his own way and did it all while having to be compared to Michael Jordan. Quote, he had to be compared to Mike. Who did Mike have to be compared to? Is how LeBron's agent posed. Pablo, buy or sell? Rich Paul, take there.
I buy the idea that LeBron has dealt with an era with the internet and with media that is very different and more overwhelming. That's fair. But I just want to sell this entire debate, Tony, because I've gotten a vision of a post-apocalyptic landscape. Cockroaches are skidding across the surface. Few people still exist, but whoever lives is still arguing about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. We're still going to be doing this in the year 3000, apparently. Just new angles all the time that are the same old angles.
Harry?
Man, if we're still arguing about LeBron and Mike that far down, we will be gone before then. But no, I don't think that this sways it one way or another. To me, the greatest is about how do you feel about a combination of skill and accomplishments, and that's really just about it. And I don't think this entire thing about the opinion thing really adds up, because LeBron has taken criticism from people like Kareem not well. So to me, that point doesn't stand either. I get where Rich Paul was going, but he didn't quite stick the landing.
Gordy Cronin?
I'm selling this because Michael Jordan dealt with a different version of this in his own era of tabloid journalism, of people following him around wherever he went, whether it was to golf courses here in Chicago or casinos. Wherever it was still very similar to what LeBron James deals with, although there wasn't X or Instagram or whatever else. I'm selling that Rich Paul is putting this out there in a way to kind of make us feel sorry for LeBron, that he's had to put up with all of this in spite of being the greatest of his generation. This doesn't define somebody. Defying somebody's opinion on a sports talk show like this one doesn't make you a better basketball player than somebody else. It's an on-court debate that had nothing to do with these comments. Although, outside of this, it was a very good interview, outside of the MJ and Steph stuff.
Yeah, this is such a nothing argument that Rich Paul's trying to make. It's not as if when Michael Jordan went to Atlantic City gambling all night in a playoff series, nobody in New York knew about it. It's on the back page of the Daily News and the Post when a million people were reading these things called newspapers. And it was all over NBC and you know, in the playoffs in those games. On the other hand, while there's more media now and more social media, superstars can go around it and have 30 million followers on their own Instagram accounts, and they can deliver all the messages they want to put out there without having to deal.
The social media being one thing, put that to the side for a second. I think it's part of what Rich Paul's saying is, but do you believe today's journalistic media are as hard on athletes as they were 25, 30 years ago, Tim, when you were breaking into
No, there's a lot more people trying to increase their value, whether it's through subscriptions or page views, clicks, by thinking if I'm a cheerleader for the team, this is going to do better for me, unfortunately.
Thanks for that thought, Tim, Courtney. Harry Lyles Jr. and Pablo Torre find out what Showdown's like next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tell us about that play and how it developed.
So pretty much I'm out here with my son. This is our first ever game, and I just wanted to make the moment special for him. Y'all gotta understand, when it's dropping down, it looked like it's coming directly to you. The reaction was shock, disgust, happiness, sweat, a little bit of lust, baby. You feel me? I was in there feeling kind of hurt, from my fingers still shaking a little bit. Charlie Ray, we're gonna be on TV, baby. Houston loves me, and I love Houston, and they cannot stop me from supporting the Astros.
Oh, my goodness. Best fan interview of all time, Harry, or best fan interview of all time?
It is 100% the best of all time. Charlie Ray, you're on TV again. I love how his dad was not going to let this be anything but an incredible moment. He put his arm around Buster Olney. Talk about being the most comfortable person in the entire stadium.
The Asteroids, Tony. I want Houston Asteroids merch. I just like that God blessed us with the person on this planet who is the most unlike Steve Bartman of anybody else.
You know,
just
you
an
bring
amazing
that up.
Blessing.
My
yes,
mind
this
went
is...
to that, too. And it just made me, again, feel sad. And that we all owe Steve Bartman an apology, because as he said, when it's coming to you, it looks like it's coming to you. What are you supposed to do? It's the most natural thing in the world.
It does.
But the length of
the
it,
lust.
The asteroids, the little bit of lust involved with all of it, the great dad that he appeared to be there, that was amazing. But Pablo Torre, this is your moment. Please take it.
Thank you, Tony. I am here to grovel with America. I have started a podcast. Yes. Another dude with a podcast, but this podcast is a special podcast. It's called Pablo Torre Finds Out. I find things out. I answer urgent questions, and I bleep around with my friends. I have art. I've had bad art on all of the ESPN programming for many months, but look, I have a logo. Pablo Torre Finds Out is a podcast. It's a YouTube show. I promise you and your friends, if you like seeing Dan Le Batard humiliated, will enjoy this first episode. That's a pretty good sales pitch, I think. And beyond that, actual sports journalism. Sports journalism that might just make Tim Kalishaw proud of me.
Pablo, since we've known you, we've loved you, and you've always asked the right questions. Pablo Torre Finds Out. Go to YouTube.
We'll see.